Kia ora tātou, hoki mai ki a koutou. And we're lucky enough to be joined by the co-leader of the Party Māori. What a surprise getting these two on every week. Anyway, the point that we're going to talk about today, a couple of three live issues for Rāwiri is the Māori option. And Rāwiri was lucky enough to have a private member's bill drawn out of the ballot. So has Debbie. Their strike rate, if they were playing lotto, would be both of them would have hit the big prizes because that's what happens. It's a lottery to get these local bills out. So, Rāwiri, we've got a Māori option underway and in play now. Can you let us know what the Labour Act did and what your Act would have done differently?
Oh, yeah. The electoral option, this is probably the biggest constitutional reform we've seen for a long time. It's not transformation, but it is a reform. So we're sharpening the same knife in regards to our people's ability to be able to change roles before this election, because it would have the Māori option would have come up next year, which allowed our people to change before the next election in 2026. So just to acknowledge that first of all. But there were huge differences between the bill I had in as a member's bill in the Biscuiton in comparison to the one that Labour did. So Labour's one is allowing us to change 3 months before the election. Our one would have allowed us to have changed right up to election day, because that's where a lot of our people come up with come up against the whole lot of issues once they get to the booths, and so they should be able to be sorted out right there and then. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we would have been able to change the electoral districts before every election. And so the electoral districts are determined by the census. This is why it was so important for our people to also fill out the census, not for the benefit of the government, but the benefit of our own political aspirations. And so changing the electoral districts before every election would have allowed us to, like, if say for instance 50% of our people are on the Māori roll right now and 50% on the non-Māori roll, that determines how many electoral districts we have, or how many people, or how many seats we've got in Parliament. The problem is we won't be able to change that. So if we've got a huge influx of people going onto the Māori roll now, we won't be able to determine how many seats we have until the census numbers have come in, and I think that will be determined next year as well. So, you know, there's a whole lot of... The other one is we would have changed the names of the roles. We would have had a Māori role and a non-Māori role, because who the hell determines who's general and not? It always makes us feel like we're the other, that Māori are the other. We're not mainstream, we're not general. They have a general role, and then they call it the general election. So it's all skewered against us to make us feel like we're the other. And so a lot of our people go on to the general role thinking that that's where their importance is. But actually it's not, because what you're doing is you're contributing to Pākehā politics and their aspirations by sitting on their role. The other one is we would have committed all Māori to the Māori role, and then they can opt off. What that means is that we've got a lot of sleeping people on the general role. I'd rather them be sleeping on our role and contributing to our Māori political aspirations rather than contributing to the general aspirations in the current system. So, you know, it would have made huge, huge changes to our electoral system. It would have been more transformative instead of just reforming, the current system, which is what the Labour bill does. Although it does allow us to change 3 months before, but it's still not, it still doesn't close the gap between the Māori role and the non-Māori role at this particular time, or the general role, if that's what you like to call it. So those are some huge differences that we would have made that would have made a big difference to our, and we would have entrenched the Māori seats, in terms of it growing. So the census would have determines our population. So at 16%, which is the current makeup, 60% of our population means that we've got seven seats, because half of our people on the Māori roll and half on the non-Māori roll. at 19 to 20%, which we're predicting, between, well, probably 17 to 9, 20% of our people we're predicting on this next census, hopefully everybody's filled it out, is that, you know, we have an increase in seats. So, you know, 19%, 20% would allow us around about 19 to 20 seats if everybody was on the Māori roll and if everybody filled out the census. So it all works hand in hand. The problem is that it works against us every time. So people should be getting a pick if you're on the Māori roll, but that's only for those who have been in their homes, you know, since the last Māori electoral option. Unfortunately, only 40% of our people own homes. The other 60% are they're transient. It won't cater for those who are in emergency housing, for those who are living in motels, and for those who are renters and have moved house since. You know, so these are some of the barriers that our people are facing. The other one is that there is a text option, and there's also an online option that we need our people to be able to have access to. But again, you know, that's on the conditions that they have Wi-Fi accessibility, that they have the devices to be able to do that, and many of our people don't.
Yes. Look, there's a long road to hoe there because it's dumbed down our vote. Frustrated it is the word, frustrated our vote. And so when you frustrate people, they lose any confidence in the voting system. And so we've got about another three generations of repair work to lift their confidence in themselves after policies that have made it very difficult for them to participate where they want and how they want.
That's absolutely bang on there. The other one is that there's been a narrative being built by mainstream that you only get you know, that your options are limited on the Māori roll. That, well, in actual fact, that's not true. Everybody gets two votes. You get to vote a candidate, and you get to vote any party of your choice. And so you get to vote for any party that has put their name up on the voting list. In terms of the candidacy, when they say, oh, well, there's more options on the general roll for candidates because, you know, National, ACT, Labour, Greens, they've all got candidates in the general, but in the Māori one, you know, only a few parties put Māori candidates up. Well, in actual fact, that's not a plight against Māori. That's a plight against those other parties who don't see value in our people and in our political aspirations by not putting people up. You know, so let's not look at it as limiting our options. Let's look at it as parties actually racially not standing candidates in the Māori seats because they don't see value in them.
Yes. Listen, the other thing that I wanted to give a quick mention to was how Te Pāti Māori is going to handle health-related matters, which are they always loom largely for us because impoverished communities always represent with greater difficulties across every health determinant.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely correct. So if our mortality rates, if we're dying 7 to 10 years earlier than non-Māori, then that's telling us something. That's telling us that our accessibility to good healthcare is down to resource and down to not being able to afford it. So our people are dying because we don't have the money to be able to afford quality healthcare. You know, the Pāti Māori, we launched in our election campaign, a whānau health card. And the whānau health card will allow them the funding to follow our whānau and not follow hospitals or those inaccessible health, you know, like dentists. Our people are dying from dentist-related issues. Poor oral health care could also create huge cardiovascular issues, diabetes, even in forms of cancer. And so, you know, we need to make sure that we're able to close the gap in terms of those health inequities, and a whānau health card will do that. And so our people can go shopping for the best quality health care, as that the money is there for them to be able to do that. I can use myself as an example. You know, I have health insurance. I get quality health care, and I've had huge improvements in my own health because of my ability to be able to, or because of the resource that I have to be able to afford that. But every whānau should have the comfort of knowing that they're going to get quality healthcare, is that the you know, the Ministry of Health the hospitals, and the private PHOs. Once upon a time, used to be DHBs, all scraping money off that should have been there for the use of our whānau. And so, you know, doctors will have to pick up their game, physiotherapists, the dentists will have to pick up their game and sell their product to our whānau, because our whānau will be able to now go shopping for better healthcare, for better quality health, and to start closing those inequities. And that's, you know, and that that's the reason why the money should follow our whānau, and that they should have a whānau health card to be able to do that and start closing those gaps. Once we start to do that, then we start to raise our mortality rates. We start to raise those things. Our people shouldn't be dying because they can't afford the same health care as those who, you know, they can afford health insurances and things like that. I know there's some iwi too, you know, out of their treaty claims, who have also, you know, they've gone through and insured, you know, their people. I look at Tauhara there in Tūwharetoa. They've insured all their hapū members. I know Raitahu, to a certain degree, have also done the same. And so, you know, this is our ability to be able to maybe even work with iwi who have gone through that particular process, the treaty claims process, to work with, you know, health insurers and the government to be able to allow our people the same access. I did put out also that the pension also should be dropped for Māori, not yet, from 65 down to 55 or 57, just until we can raise the bar, until that tide, when the tide rises, everything should rise with, until we rise up to the same level as everybody else. And it should change, and it should be measured on the science that gives us that particular data. Unfortunately, it's, again, assimilation, subjugation, and we're treated like everybody else, when in actual fact we're not on a level playing field. And this is what this allows us to do. Lowering the pension, allowing us a whānau health card to be able to start lifting our mortality rates and start lifting our people to quality healthcare.
Yes, and listen, the final thing, I couldn't let you escape without making a comment. The Labour Party have announced its Wairiki candidate, noting that Tamati Kofi has resigned and is retiring, and it's a relation of yours.
Yes, it is a relation of mine. So Tony Boynton and I are related on our tamatuhirai and our matahi whakapapa in Tūhoe. And, you know, I know Tony's been part of the political space for a little while now. She's also a councillor on the Whakatāne District Council. And that was a new role for her because she ran on one of the new Māori wards. You know, it would have been, you know, we still need people at that particular level because, you know, as a legislator in Parliament, you also need the regulators who sit in council. That's where the rubber hits the road, and we still need people there to ensure that our whānau. And I would have hoped that she had stayed there, but look, she's decided to throw her hat in the ring, in true form, I acknowledge my whānau, and but as the Wairiki candidate, I welcome any challenges, and look forward to the election and being on the election campaign and being able to debate and the contest of ideas. Heading forward, you know, Labour's already going out and saying they're spending millions here and millions there. In actual fact, that's, you know, that's business as usual. That's what they should be doing after years and years of underinvestment. And so, you know, those are some of the corridors that we'll probably be having on our trail. But to understand that our people have been underinvested in for many, many years, and that the millions of dollars that have been dropped by Labour in this term, wasn't in the last term, but in this term, has been attributed to the pressure that Te Pāti Māori have put on this particular government, and will continue to do that. And so the power of being in opposition has proven that our worth, and that we will continue to put pressure on any government that sits there. And from the crossbenches, we've been really proud of our record. You know, we're the only ones that campaigned for Māori wards. We're the only ones that campaigned on the Māori Health Authority. We're the only ones that campaigned on a targeted Māori housing policy, you know, and so we're the only ones that have campaigned for the increased funding to whānau ora, to the increased funding of Matatini. All of those things have been done by Te Pāti Māori. They haven't been done by the Labour Party. If you look at their their campaign manifesto, none of that sits in there. Those are all party Māori. And so we welcome any party to come in and delve into our Māori party manifesto and start to achieve that. But we will continue to put pressure on them to ensure that they resource them appropriately and that they're not just a drop in the water. Unfortunately, we got 0.3% of the budget in the last in 2017, and I think it increased to a 0.6%. But in actual fact, when you're making up around 20% of the population, that's only a drop in the water. If you look at Te Tiriti o Waitangi, we should be getting half of that. If you look at Article 2, we should be, we should have our own mana motuhake in that particular space. So, you know, we're a long way off from where we need to be. And those are the types of kōrero that the Labour Party are going to have to come up, face the music with in terms of our people really making transformative constitutional changes as we head into the 2023 election.
Well, okay, Rawi, hey, thanks very much for joining us this evening. Pō mare, and love to my mokopunas.
All right, kia ora, ka pai.
Kia ora.